Welcome back to Matlin Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going back to the lines, Nick of Lake Mills, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Nick?
Hey, good morning, Matt. Yeah, to your last point about Joe Manchin, I like the idea about, hey, we'll give him a bigger piece of cheese to take back to West Virginia. Or you know, a safety net to help him get reelected. And those things, that's all nice. But then there's also not nice. And I can't believe that with the stuff that his daughter's involved in and somewhere where he's getting his money in, that there's not something there that could be used as leverage to get him to comply. Like dirty deeds done dirt cheap. Like there's got to be some kind of leverage they can use against him to get him to vote and make this thing go away. And my last point would be that I don't think that the Democratic Party would be where it's at right now without the Progressive Caucus in it. I don't think that Republicans are aging out. You got a new generation of voters coming in, and they're more progressive. And I don't think we as a party would be where we're at without that Progressive Caucus. I think that's pretty much it for that. So I'll leave you. I'll take your comments offline.
Yeah, those are good comments, Nick. Let me unpack that. That's good. Remember one thing. The Democratic Party up until 1949 was, Franklin Roosevelt was the changer, but you know, the Democratic Party was actually a right-wing party up through the First World War. You know, Woodrow Wilson, it was the Republicans up to the First World War who were more open to integrating African-Americans in our society. And Teddy Roosevelt and the other Republican presidents integrated the civil service. Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat, unintegrated it. And it was Franklin Roosevelt who finally broke that logjam in 1949. I've said this before. There was a convention in Green Bay where the Progressive Republicans merged with the Democratic Party. And it became, in effect, the Progressive Democratic Party ever since. And if you take a look at the legislation in this state and what we did as a state, and then you take a look after Truman, you look at Kennedy, you know, you look at Carter, you look at all of our presidential nominees ever since. These are people who push the limits of progressive legislation. And that is absolutely true with Joe Biden. It's absolutely true with Joe Biden. A lot of people had questions. They wanted Bernie. I mean, I'll tell you what, Joe's doing a heck of a job in my view. Now, The generations get more and more progressive. I agree. In the 60s, there was no Medicare and Medicaid. We finally came in. That was very progressive. The Affordable Care Act came in. We're integrating all of this. The point I am making right now is that when you have a progressive caucus that has a different platform from the Democratic Party, has its own whips who go around and whip up votes, and who stand in the way of a consensus of Democratic leadership of what can be done right now, that's not how you run a political party. That's essentially a third party. Now, I'll go one step further. What Manchin is doing is the same thing on the right. What Manchin and Sinema are doing the same thing, taking advantage of the Democratic label and representing oil and gas interests, and in the case of Sinema, pharmaceutical interests. That's not right either. If you're Joe Biden, Joe Biden is probably the most experienced guy on the Senate alive in the United States right now. He's in the Senate since he was 30 years old, and then vice president, the head of the Senate. And what we're exploring right now is what you can do with Manchin. If there's something on him, yeah, absolutely use it. I don't think there's anything on him right now that's going to induce him to get rid of his opposition to clean energy. That is the tragedy in this thing. You know, the other stuff can be added on later, but the more we linger on clean energy, the more we're polluting the atmosphere. The more we're polluting the atmosphere, and he's representing a coal state. And you remember when Hillary Clinton ran against Donald Trump, she said, and she used the wrong words to do it, she's going to put coal workers out of business. That's not the issue. The coal workers need jobs. They should transition a new economy. The proper training and subsidies should have put it that way. And Trump said, I'm for coal. And then he got significant votes in a lot of those areas. I'm being pragmatic, very, very pragmatic. Let me put it to you this way. In law school, a professor once said, somebody raised some of these issues and he said, look, the divinity school is up the hill. This is the law school. This is the reality school. We're going to end up with nothing if things keep going the way they are. So with Manchin, I think instead of threatening him with prosecution, because I don't think there's anything hard enough to do that right now, you say, look, you want to get reelected. We will help you get reelected. You are for the oil companies and coal because they give you massive amounts of money, which you need to get reelected. You're not a wealthy man. We get it. We get it. Okay. And when it comes to suspending the filibuster for voting rights and voting for clean energy, that polls in your state well over 50%, 60s and 70s. So you're golden with the electorate, but you need money. There are some people we know, investors and hedge fund operators, and you may uncharitably say they're as crooked as a dog's hind leg. And some of them are, not all of them are. They're taking advantage of lax laws. They have billions of dollars. You think you read about Bezos and Elon Musk and Bill Gates and all that. Yeah, they're at the top of the, but there are a lot of people around with $10 to $30 billion, believe it or not, believe it or not. And if the president of the United States fundraises from them and says, I have a guy, Joe Manchin, you've got to do an independent expenditure for him, and it's not coordinated with him, but and set it up legally. It has to be legal. I get it. There are ways of doing that. The oil companies and the gas companies will go to Manchin and say, we're not going to give you what you did, what we had because of what you did. Suddenly, there's a tsunami, a tsunami. Abraham Lincoln sat down with these people just before he was assassinated, said, I want you to vote for the 13th Amendment outlawing slavery. And people from Pennsylvania, for Pete's sake, and people from Maryland say, I can't do that. I'll be killed at home. You know what Lincoln said? I will make you the postmaster of Scranton, Pennsylvania. I will make you the customs inspector in a port in Maryland. In those days, which is no longer the case, those people got a slice. They got very wealthy, and they said, okay. Now, that is a criminal offense. That's also Abraham Lincoln. And I'm saying this with great reverence. Abraham Lincoln got rid of slavery, and he did what it took. I do not countenance that with Joe Biden. But what I do countenance is his going in saying, everybody goes, oh, the oil companies, oh, the gas companies and pharmaceutical. They're peanuts compared to some of these people. Peanuts. And these people are whores, and they will contribute as they're directed by somebody who's powerful, whom they're either afraid of or they think that somehow they benefit from being associated with. This is the reality. And if you think that Pramila Jayapal and everybody else is going to go and yell at and that's going to get it done, that ain't getting it done. It obviously ain't getting it done. So what do you do about that? This is one pragmatic alternative. Another pragmatic alternative is take what you can, vote for the hard infrastructure, get it through, get Biden to sign it, put the trades to work, put carpenters to work, machinists, sheet metal workers, pipe fitters, laborers, others, put them all to work, hundreds of thousands of them, millions of them, union wages, very, very good benefits, build up the labor unions. And then on the other, they won't do 3.5, you take 1.9. And you give everything except two things that are the major ones, 2 years of college and community college, deal with it in Pell Grants, increase the Pell Grants, increase that and put it on the agenda in the next Senate. The thing that I don't like, I really don't like, is Manchin nickel and diming around on $150 billion for clean energy. That is wrong. That is wrong. And the question is, what do you do? Do you just go into a standoff with him? And then suddenly, no, nothing gets done. We stood on principle. He stood on his sad, corrupt principles, and nothing got done. And a Republican gets elected governor of Virginia, and the governor of New Jersey probably gets reelected Democrat, but with a smaller margin. And our congressional candidates have to go out in the field of combat in 2022 saying, we have an incompetent party. We have an incompetent party. That's not how you run a political party. And I agree with progressive influence, and I think it's very beneficial. But there comes a time when you say, if I can't get $3.5 billion and I can only get $1.9, I'm going to blow up the Capitol. The one thing in policy that I sympathize with, they're saying that, is not the overall amount. It is clean energy. It is climate change. I agree with that 100%. And we have 50 votes in the Democratic Party, supposedly. One of them has flat out said, I will not vote for that provision because I'm a coal guy, an oil guy, because I'm from West Virginia. And he's misreading the state. He's going to lose. He's not going to get his base. And the Republicans, even though he sucks up to him, are not going to go with him. He's dumber than a post. That's what he's doing. But I'm much more pragmatic. And my response is simply this. Get him in his own interest to do it. He's afraid of being deprived of a lot of money. He's afraid of being deprived of a lot of money. And he's going to be deprived of his Senate seat if he doesn't do this the way we want him to do it. So it's all well and good being, Candide, Little Miss Buttercup, okay, we go into the field and we got to have what we want. And if we can't, if we get 90% of it, even if a very bad thing is being done to the other 10%, okay, we stand on principle. Great, great. No, not great. Destroys the Democratic Party. And so you tell me what you do to force him to do this other than what I'm describing. You can say, okay, yeah, Luke, okay, you're at the microphone. This is Luke of the Dueling Tangents. Luke and Brian at 2 p.m. You got to listen to their show. Luke, go ahead.
Yeah, I think Brian and I've been messaging Brian since you put me on the spot and asked me the question. Brian and I are going to work out an answer, and you're going to have to tune in at 2 p.m. to figure it out. But I think we've got an answer. We're going to work it out. We're going to make a good show of it, I believe, today or tomorrow. But we're going to respond on Dueling Tangents, Matt. So you're going to have to tune in to hear what that is.
You got it. Listen to Dueling Tangents. That's the Luke and Brian show. These are young guys, progressive millennials, these guys are. I'm a older guy who's a progressive in the traditional Democratic sense. They are going to solve the issue. They've come up with something I haven't come up with, and they're going to do it at 2 p.m. You got to listen to it. Going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.